Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, most on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. This is the 10K Collective podcast with your host, Michael Veazey. Today, we are talking about an unsexy but really critical topic, which is sales tax. I'm talking today to Alex Oxford, who's the founder of Tax Valet, which eliminates the hassle and stress of US sales tax for both domestic and international companies. And we have both US-based and a lot of international listeners, including but not limited to UK, Canada, Germany. So warm welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to plunge in. We're going to ask the really simple questions because sometimes they produce complex answers, which is, what is US sales tax in the first place? Let's just clarify what we're talking about. What is it?
Yep, that is quite the loaded question indeed, because we can go down so many different rabbit holes. I think the easiest way to describe US sales tax is that it's a complicated mess, but that's probably not what you're looking for. Sales tax in the United States is very different from how taxation works in other countries or even in the UK. Many sellers are used to a value-added tax system, and it's much simpler than how it works in the United States. But in the United States, sales tax is added to any product or service that is taxable. So there's an asterisk there. Is your product or service taxable in the state? And you have to collect and remit sales tax from customers in the states, like in a specific state, if you have what's referred to as sales tax nexus. So if you have sales tax nexus and your product or service is taxable, you need to collect the sales tax from the customer and then pay it to the state. And this is very different from value-added tax in that you are calculating the amount of tax that is due at the point of checkout or in the shopping cart, for example, collecting it from the customer. It's coming into your bank account. You're holding on to it and you're responsible for it. And then you ultimately have to pay it out to the government. So that's probably the 10,000 foot view of US sales tax. And there's lots of gotchas that make it so challenging for someone who's just getting started to really navigate the terrain.
Great. Well, that's a nice, clear, simple explanation. And it's a funny thing that I would speak to lawyers and accountants sometimes in this. They're famous, infamous for being a bit complicated, but I find the very expert people are good at breaking it down. And that's a nice, clear explanation. So I suppose that implies immediately a couple of questions, which we're going to dive into. What does taxable mean? Do you have sales tax nexus? You're responsible for collecting it. So there's lots of rabbit holes there. But the first thing is, let's keep it at the 10,000 foot view for the moment. How does it impact e-commerce sellers? Because if it doesn't have much impact, it's something we shouldn't be spending much time on it. So what is the impact in broad terms?
Well, there can be a lot of impact, particularly if you have your own website. And we're going to dive into that a bit more. But an online company, whether you are based in the United States or based outside of the United States, you still could have sales tax implications. So it used to be that you had to have a physical presence inside of the United States in order to have a sales tax collection or responsibility. But that's no longer the case. Just making sales into the United States could trigger a sales tax collection responsibility. And if you don't collect from your customers and they find you, you could have to pay all of the back taxes that you owe that you didn't collect from your customers, plus penalties and interest. And at that point, if you do get caught, it's a lot harder to clean up the mess. And there's not a lot of negotiation that you can do with the states to get things cleaned up. There are quite a few issues specific to e-commerce sellers. And the two that I want to point out, particularly for your audience that isn't based in the United States, is going to be economic nexus and then marketplace facilitator laws. So economic nexus came about in 2018, and it was a Supreme Court ruling. It was South Dakota versus Wayfair, Wayfair.com. Wayfair.com wasn't collecting sales tax in South Dakota, and South Dakota said, you're making a substantial number of sales into our state. We want to force you to collect and remit sales tax on sales coming into our state of South Dakota. And Wayfair said that's unconstitutional. It was not legal for them to do that. And it worked its way up all the way to the Supreme Court level. And the Supreme Court said, we had previously ruled back in the 90s that you had to have a physical presence, but that's no longer the case. We made a mistake and we're going to change the law of the land. So South Dakota was the first state to have economic nexus become legal. And what we've seen is almost every single state in the United States has passed some form of economic nexus law. And these laws are structured similar to one another. They're a little different, but basically what they do is they say, if you meet a certain transaction count threshold, like let's say you make over 200 different sales into the state, or you sell over a certain dollar threshold, typically it's $100,000. Some states have different thresholds. So for example, California is 500,000. So it's a lot more challenging to cross that. But if you cross these thresholds, now you have what's referred to as economic nexus, and you're supposed to collect and remit sales tax from your customers. Then the second consideration for e-commerce companies is going to be what's referred to as marketplace facilitator laws. And there are, by the way, many other considerations here. We're just hitting the high points. If you have online affiliates, if you're storing your inventory in the United States, if you have contractors based in the United States, there's a whole myriad of ways that you can have sales tax nexus. But I just wanted to point out that I'm just highlighting two of them, economic nexus and marketplace facilitator laws. So marketplace facilitator laws are the relatively new kid on the block, and these laws have been coming into effect over the last year or so. And not all states have them, but a large amount of them do. And the way these marketplace facilitator laws work is if you're selling exclusively on a marketplace, which I'm sure many of your listeners do, if you're selling exclusively on a marketplace, then the marketplace is responsible for collecting and remitting the sales tax on any of the sales that happen on the marketplace. So for example, California, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, there's a whole bunch of states, not all of them, but a large portion of them. It is the marketplace's responsibility to collect the sales tax and remit it. And there's more detail we can go into there, like, so what happens if I have my own web store, or what happens if I get audited? You know, what is the procedure there? And there's a lot of implications, but those are the two hottest trends right now with respect to US sales tax for e-commerce businesses.
Okay, so thank you very much for pointing out those. So again, when you got a complex area, I guess hitting the high points or the low points, I suppose, from the seller's point of view is a good plan. So let's part the, if you've got your own web store thing, I mean, I know a lot of people do, but for a lot of people, it's a pretty small percentage of their e-commerce sales, even some pretty big businesses that formerly focused on their own store, whether it's Magento, WooCommerce, whatever. I find often now the ones that I deal with anyway, because I focus on Amazon, are often focused on Amazon themselves. So let's assume that it's all about Amazon. I've done interviews with other people on this subject, and one of the striking things about sales tax is nobody seems to agree. Like very highly, you know, highly intelligent and very, very experienced people have violently different agreements on this. So tell me about the marketplace facilitator laws for purely Amazon sellers. Is it the case, for example, that for the majority of states, you can simply sell on Amazon, it's Amazon's problem, and you just get on with life and ignore it?
Sure. So what are the reasons why sales tax in particular is so challenging and why it's hard to get a straight answer is because some of these topics, particularly these newer topics, you don't get a straight answer from the state, which makes it difficult. So we actually opened up a research project because we've been asking the same questions, because on the surface, if you're only selling on marketplaces and the marketplaces are responsible for collecting and remitting the tax, then you wouldn't have any liabilities. And why would you get, you wouldn't have any sales tax liabilities, right? And so why would you get a permit? Why would you submit returns for $0? So there's two ways to look at this. There's the practical way, and then there's the technically correct way, right? And I think what your listeners are going to want to hear is the practical piece. So if you're only selling on a marketplace and the marketplace is facilitating the sales tax in a state, your liabilities, your sales tax liabilities are effectively zero, unless there are ancillary taxes or additional filing requirements in the state. So I'll give you an example. Washington's the big one. They have what's referred to as B&O tax, business and occupation tax. Business and occupation tax is reported with the sales tax return, and Washington is also a marketplace facilitator state. However, if you don't get a permit and submit sales tax returns in Washington, you're omitting the B&O tax. And we had a B&O audit that we were cleaning up. It was over $80,000 for one of our clients not too long ago, because he made the assumption, I don't have to get a permit in Washington because they're a marketplace facilitator state. Now, Washington is one of the outliers here, right? But in general, your liabilities are going to be zero if you're only selling on a marketplace. That's the practical answer, right? But it's not the technically correct answer, because if you look at the state's websites and you reach out to the state and you look at the statutes, most of the time these states don't have anything that says that you no longer have to file a return or you don't have to have a permit. And since we're perfectionists here at Tax Valet, we wanted to actually know what's the answer? What are we actually supposed to do? So we went state by state by state. We hounded them. We followed up with every state like 20 or 30 times. We actually had the states write on their website, because they'd say, you know, they'd put something in email saying, oh yeah, you don't have to worry about getting a permit, or no, you still need to get a permit. We said, we don't believe you if it's an email. We want an officially signed letter from someone at the Department of Revenue, or we want you to put it on your website to prove and actually say that you don't need to get a permit and you don't need to file returns. And here's why this is important. Because if you're only selling on a marketplace and you have no liabilities, but Amazon is transmitting all of that data to the state, and the state wanted to be a jerk about it, they could, for example, look up the fact that you crossed those economic nexus thresholds that we were talking about earlier. They could determine that you had nexus in the state and then come at you and penalize you just for not submitting returns and not having a sales tax license. It's those penalties which add up over time, which even if you didn't have any sales tax liabilities, certain states, they could penalize you a flat dollar amount just for not complying with their registration requirements. And so that's why we wanted that official guidance, and that's why we went out and got it. So the technically correct answer is about half of the marketplace facilitator states have said they still want you to get a permit, and about half have said, don't worry about it, but just make sure that you have some documentation from the marketplace proving that they're facilitating the sales tax on your behalf. So it's sort of a, you know, we always like to try to have simple answers to simple questions, but in the sales tax world, it's really hard to provide that while being accurate. So bird's eye view, answering your question, do marketplace only sellers need to worry about sales tax in the United States in a marketplace facilitator state? The practical answer is not really, unless you have an ancillary tax that you need to worry about. The technical answer is we'd have to look at the specific state, the specific situation, and what your exposure is in the event of you being penalized for not submitting returns. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's as you say, everyone's looking for simple answers, but they don't exist. I mean, one of the things that always strikes me, and maybe I'm being biased here, but we've just gone through nearly going Brexit. In fact, today, officially, we should be leaving in about, you know, 5 hours and 40 minutes, the European Union for the third time, but the third time the can's been kicked down the road. And one of the things that always strikes me, people like to moan about Europe, and we have multiple different languages, very, you know, different cultures. But one of the things that Europe does that America really hasn't is that it's quite unified in a lot of ways that America surprisingly isn't. It's very easy, I think, from the European perspective to be very ignorant and say the United States is America, it's one country. But actually, it's a lot of states which have really different laws. And that comes very, very practical and very real when you're selling there, because there is such a violent difference between the states, it seems to me, as an outsider and not an expert.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of examples, right? When you look at the United States tax system, there are over 12,000 different local tax jurisdictions, right? So there's over 12,000 different tax rates that you could potentially have to use. So it's impossible to handle this without using some sort of software or some third-party tool or service provider to help you with this. Not only are there all of these different tax rates, but we also have different product taxability state to state, right? And the definition of what is considered a certain product is totally different. So for example, one state might tax diapers and another might as well, but then one state might define a diaper as only for children and another it would adult diapers or like geriatric diapers would be taxable. I know that's a weird example, but there's all of these strange definitions that come into play. And so this is one point I wanted to bring up for these marketplace sellers. In the event of an audit, if you read your service agreement, if you read your terms of service with Amazon, you're on the hook if there's an audit and something was set up incorrectly in Amazon. So just because we have all these marketplace facilitator states doesn't mean that you should say, okay, phew. You still have to worry about the states that aren't marketplace facilitator states if you have Nexus there, right? That's a huge point. The second point is you still need to make sure that your products are set up correctly, because if Amazon gets audited, you're on the hook. That service agreement, that terms of service for this with Amazon, they say you're on the hook if something's not set up correctly.
Great. So that's, I think it's clarifying things. I hope so. I mean, I would encourage everyone, by the way, to look at the show notes for things like this, because this is complex stuff and we're trying to simplify it as much as we can. 10kcollective.com is the place to go for those. So what it sounds like is a lot of it comes down to, do we have Nexus in a non, this is again, simplifying it down to, if you've got just Amazon presence, which is true for a lot of people. So it comes down to, do you have tax Nexus? Well, first of all, do you have tax Nexus in non-marketplace facilitator states, by the sound of it, the very simple version, right? Or we got to take into account that technically you might have to register for sales tax, even though you definitely will never have to pay it, because it's kind of bundled in with a bunch of other undesirable taxes that in about half of the marketplace facilitator states. Is that about right?
It's not because it's bundled in with okay. other taxes, but just because the state said that they're being bullies and they want you to get a permit. So yeah.
Okay, so you have to get a permit to sell. Effectively, you need a sort of sales permit to sell in certain states.
Sure.
Even if they have marketplace facilitator laws. And then the other half of marketplace facilitator law states, you just don't need to worry. Is that about right?
Yeah. And they have come out and explicitly stated that.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. And by the way, which states are we're saying certain states, like we're trying to hide? I mean, obviously some states are famous, like California was infamous for being very aggressive and it's a very wealthy state and it's got a big population. So it's not only is it highly incentivized to come after people because they can get a lot of money, but they have the money in their coffers to do so. So which states should we worry about? And then I want to deal with this Nexus thing. But before we plunge into Nexus, which is a thorny place to be in my experience, tell me which states to worry about and which states not to worry about. Very, broadly speaking.
So I'm going through my list here. With respect to the states that we see the most audits in, that's going to be California, Florida, Texas, Washington, and Illinois. California is a marketplace facilitator state. Florida is not. Washington is, but they have an ancillary tax. So you can't just write that one off. And Illinois is not a marketplace facilitator state yet, but they will be early 2020. So the states that you need to worry about the most of that list would be Washington. The thing we always need to look at with respect to sales tax and coming up with a plan of action is figuring out what your exposure is, how large are your liabilities, and what is the potential downfall in the event of an audit. So if one of your listeners is just getting started, and again, this is like my attorney disclaimer, I'm not telling you to not get a permit, depending on the size of your business or anything like that, but you always should look at the exposure, because if you're just getting started and let's say you're storing Amazon FBA inventory in a state, that would create a physical presence. And let's also say that it's not a marketplace facilitator state. If you're only selling $100 or $200 a month into a state, your liabilities are so small, it'd be such a headache and such a burden for you to go and get a permit today. You might decide to wait until your exposure is larger. You just don't want to forget about it and then have it become this huge problem that can cost you a lot of money. So always thinking about practicality as well is very important in this. And again, I'm not suggesting that you ignore sales tax problems, but be smart about it. Make your own decisions.
Yeah, that sounds very much the advice. Again, it's about risk management, right? There's a lot of businesses. The more I talk to good advisors like yourself or good business people, the word risk comes up, and not as a kind of scary, nasty run for the hills, but we don't bury your head in the sand, but you don't just kind of do everything that you should do to protect yourself ever, because there's normally just no profit left after that, apart from insurance agents and get profitable and lawyers and accountants. But that calculated risk is the word that springs to mind. And
exactly.
That's exactly what I got from somebody who interviewed a very practical Australian chap whose name I forget, and forgive me if you're listening, but who we talked about insurance liability / you know, product liability and general liability insurance, which pretty much this comes to the same thing in terms of practical insurance policies cover both. And he said, yeah, look, if you're getting started with a very small amount, just get started, because the risk of you getting sued is pretty tiny when you've got 100 products out there. But when you've got 10,000 units of something out there, or whatever the point in between that is your comfort zone for risk, then you are running a legal risk and a financial risk. And I suppose it's a similar sort of judgment here, right? So that, thank you for being pragmatic. It's nice to have somebody who's connected with tax is pragmatic. So coming back then to this practical idea, tell me about how we deal then with the states where we don't have this marketplace facilitator laws, which sounds like is roughly half. How do we approach those?
So in the states where you have nexus and you're making sales that are taxable and where you are responsible for collecting and remitting the tax, so this could be those states that are not marketplace facilitator states, or it could be if you have your own website, right, then all of those sales would also be taxable. Then what you need to do is you need to get a sales tax permit in the United States. The sales tax permit is what technically gives you the right to transact. I think that's sort of garbage that you know, have to get a permit in order to do business in the US. That's me being grumpy about the language there. But you're supposed to get a sales tax permit. And what this permit does is it gives you the right to transact and also the responsibility to collect sales tax from the customers and the responsibility to remit the sales tax to the states. So at a high level, what you need to do is you need to first determine, do you need to get a permit? Do you want to get a permit? Next, get the permit from the state. And there are certain implications with getting a sales tax permit registration for international businesses in particular. We can talk about that in a minute. The third thing you need to do is make sure that your marketplace channels are set up to collect sales tax correctly, whether that's Amazon, eBay, Shopify, Magento, WooCommerce, Newegg, you know, wherever you are selling, you need to make sure that you are set up to collect the tax correctly from the customers, because some people make the mistake of just assuming that it's all just going to happen automatically until 6 months later, they're looking at their margins and they're like, oh, I was supposed to collect that and I've been paying this out of pocket for the past few months. So you don't want to go there. And then finally, you need to do the sales tax returns each month or each quarter in each of the states where you have nexus. So that's the bird's eye view.
Just making notes furiously. Once again, guys, if you want to read up some notes to get your head around this, 10kcollective.com is where we have the notes. Look out for Alex Oxford's interview there. Okay, so I think we're going to talk in a separate episode about sales tax nexus, because I know it's a big area and it's complex, so we want to deal with that separately. Let me just zoom back out then, because obviously this is one of those areas where you could go into frightening amounts of detail.
It is Halloween today, after all. I mean, it's only fitting.
It is frightening. Yeah, it's not just Halloween. And like, for whatever reason, the road we live in is very quiet residential road. And it's absolutely thronging with kids. It's like, you know, I don't know what, Times Square in America, or it would be like Piccadilly Circus in London. It's absolutely like crazy.
Trick or treat, sales tax.
It is absolutely, yeah. Spooky stuff is happening. So we'll talk about tax nexus in a minute, but let's just deal with the big stuff. I mean, We've dealt with we've simplified a lot of stuff, so thank you for doing that. What are the biggest misconceptions, would you say, for international sellers regarding US sales tax? So in other words, these are things that if you're thinking it, you should probably go and investigate.
Sure. So one of the largest misconceptions is that you only owe sales tax if you have a physical presence in the United States. And this is a misconception for US companies and for international companies, but because of that Wayfair ruling, because of those economic nexus laws, it's very easy to have a sales tax collection responsibility without ever setting foot in the US. The second misconception is that this applies to businesses who have their own website, for example. The second misconception is that if you have sales tax nexus because of Amazon, it only applies to Amazon sales and it doesn't impact the rest of your business. So this comes up a lot with Amazon FBA sellers. When they have their inventory stored in a whole bunch of states, it will create sales tax nexus. The common misconception is, well, I have sales tax nexus in California because of Amazon, for example, but I don't have to worry about my California sales that are happening on my website because it's separate. It's totally false. Sales tax nexus applies to your entire business. That state impacts the entire business. Another misconception is that Amazon is taking care of everything for you. They're not taking care of everything for you. There's many states where they are not marketplace facilitator states and you still have a collection responsibility. And even if it is a marketplace facilitator state, it's still your responsibility to make sure the products are set up correctly. And we could talk at great length about all the issues we see there, but we don't have time for that. But making sure at the very least, you're going in and setting a product tax code for each of your SKUs. And the last misconception is, and I see a lot of bad advice here from other CPAs, and whether it's nefarious or not, I mean, who's to say, but the last misconception is that you have to pay income tax, state income tax, in every single state where you have sales tax nexus. It is possible that you might owe state income tax at the state level, but it is not necessarily the case that you definitely have to in every single state where you have sales tax nexus. Total misconception.
Okay, so it sounds like, as I would imagine, that I was right, that sales tax and income tax are completely different things and you just need to deal with them separately. Is that right?
Yes, they're cousins, because some of the things that create sales tax nexus will also create income tax nexus, but they're not two in the same. Totally different beasts.
Okay, we keep mentioning the word tax nexus, so we're going to have to blast that boil in a second. Okay, so the physical presence thing sounds very old school for me, but that's because I've been talking about sales tax for ages with Amazon sellers. I suppose a lot of people still in that mindset. Very interesting though, the sales tax nexus. If you have sales tax nexus based on either your own store or a marketplace in any state, then you basically have to deal with sales tax across all your channels. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So we have some of our Amazon sellers who come to us and they say, I want to get rid of my permit. I don't want to do filings in the state anymore. And they're doing $1 million a year. And we say, hey, half of your sales are on your Shopify site. You still need your permit.
Yeah. So you either have a tax nexus or you don't, right, I guess, in per state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's interesting. And that makes a certain kind of sense, sadly. Okay. Amazon does not take care of everything for you, right? So that's worth knowing as well, even in states where they are marketplace. This is so classic Amazon. They've been fighting this for years. I mean, the amazing thing to me is not that this happened, but that it's taken so extremely long for the states, many of which are really quite broke. I mean, anything that's got Detroit in it, apparently some cities in America are literally, you know, bankrupt. I mean, so yeah. They need cash, and it's never surprising. If you have any chance of raising cash, normally governments of all descriptions, and in Britain, it's simpler, it's local government and then national. In the states, it's all sorts of levels. They're going to want their hands on it. So it does not surprise me one slightest bit that it's happened. What's amazing to me is that Amazon's managed to kick the cash down the road for pretty much 2.5 decades about this. So yeah, it's bound to be a bit nasty, and Amazon is never ever wants to take responsibility for anything, so it doesn't surprise me.
Oh no, they will now, and they'll take a percentage of the tax collected as their tax, their marketplace facilitator fee. They take a cut, so it's not free. You might not realize that.
No, tell me more about this then. So okay, so what are the cases where Amazon will deal with this for us, and how does that work? That's a very important point.
So they'll take care of it for you in all of those marketplace facilitator states. They will be collecting the tax. They'll be calculating it on the website. They'll be collecting it on your behalf, and it will be going to the Amazon bank account, and then they'll be paying it to the state. However, if you collect $100 in tax, for example, well, if you don't collect, but if Amazon collects $100 in tax on your behalf, they're going to pay $100 to the state, for example, but they're going to only be sending $98 and you're going to be paying that $2 out of pocket. So in their disbursements to you, they're taking, I think it's 2%. I'm not sure about the exact amount, but they're taking a percentage of the tax that they're collecting from the customers as their facilitation fee, which is just another way for Amazon to inch by inch get more and more revenue from their sellers, which is why there's all these advantages to selling on Amazon, but also to getting off of Amazon and creating your own sales channel, your own website, right?
Absolutely, yes. That's certainly true. Okay, well, that's worth knowing that we need to account for that. So roughly 2% of revenue, which depending on your profit margins could be quite a percentage of profit, of course, but that's worth knowing. So Amazon does take care of it, but at a price, which is fair enough as long as we know it's happening. At this point, I guess I'm going to pull this particular episode to a close because we haven't dealt with sales tax nexus and exactly how it works. We're going to deal with that because it's such a critical question. But just to wrap up on this segment, you've talked about the biggest misconceptions regarding sales tax. What would you say the two or three easiest wins that are practical? So thinking practically, not technically, okay? If you've got a multi-million dollar business, you're probably going to need to be very, very, if you're doing tens or hundreds of millions, you're going to need to be very, very meticulous because you'll be an obvious target and a few percent down is going to be a big amount of money. But let's assume that somebody doing a few million dollars, so between 1 and 10 million, maybe a few hundred thousand, what practical steps would you advise them to take?
First thing I would do is do an analysis of where you have sales tax nexus, which we'll talk about later, right? And this is something that our company can help you do. So figure out where you have sales tax nexus and what your exposure is. Get registered in the states where your exposure is significant and then begin submitting returns. And even if you can't get permits everywhere, if it's too much of a problem to tackle at once, just starting somewhere and just taking action. I mean, everyone listening here is an entrepreneur, I take it, and they went out and they started their business. Inaction can kill you, right? You don't have to start big, just do something so that you're addressing the problem.
And specifically, by the sound of it, just talking of that, that sounds like very practical advice. It sounds like the state of Washington is as a place to start if you have any inkling that...
Washington's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as the home of Amazon, I'm sure that it's kind of the home of beating up Amazon from the government point of view as well, because it's obviously politically going to be very unpalatable for a lot of people to just sit there and watch Amazon, not pay tax, I guess. So that it makes sense politically that it's going to be, they're going to have to do something and be seen to do something about it, I guess. So great. Thank you. Very practical. Thank you for your practical tips. So next up, folks, drum roll, please. Sales tax nexus. We will be dealing with this in the next interview.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for Kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million US or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for mother, P for Peter, M for mother. Thanks for listening.